is from Acts chapter 11, beginning at the first verse. The apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them?" But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And we'll read the psalm responsively, Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens.
Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord.
For he commanded, and they were created, and he established them forever and ever.
He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all depths.
Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth.
Young men and maidens together, old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord.
For his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven.
He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints.
For the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord.
Our second lesson is from Revelations chapter 21, verse 1 through 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. From the farewell discourse of our Lord. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us, 'A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I'm going to the Father?'" So they were saying, "What does he mean by 'a little while'? We do not know what he's talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, 'A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow, because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Alleluia, the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated, and I invite the youth that are present to come forward for a children's message. Come right over here. Here, sit. Oh, you want to sit by me? Here, go. There, go. Good job. Anybody need a tissue? What do we use tissues for?
Our noses.
Maybe we got a runny nose or a cold, or maybe our allergies are bothering us, or maybe we sneeze, right? But we use tissues not only for our noses. You know what else we use them for? What else do we use them for? Our eyes, that's right, because sometimes a person might be crying and you might go over to them and say, "Here," right? And you give them a tissue and then they wipe away the tears, right? And one of our Bible verses for tonight tells us that when Jesus comes back again, when we get to heaven, there's not going to be any crying, there's not going to be any bad tears anymore.
Mama.
What?
You
know why we're not going to have any tears in heaven? Because Jesus is going to wipe them all away. And is he going to use a box of tissues?
I have a twisty pet, and then it turns it into an amulet, and first it's a bracelet.
Let me ask you a question first, though. In heaven, how is Jesus going to wipe away all of our tears? You know how he does that? Not with a box of tissues, right? He does it by dying and rising. By what he did on Good Friday and on Easter morning, okay? So he takes away all of our tears. Let me show you some pictures. Let me see if you can identify these. This picture here? Mm-hmm. Picture of two kids, right? Are they happy or sad? Are they laughing or crying?
Sad.
Well, this one here is laughing his head off. He's happy, right? But this must be his brother. And is his brother happy? No, he's bawling. He's crying and weeping and mourning, right? Yeah? How about this one? Is this little girl here? Mm-hmm. Is she happy or sad?
No, sad.
How can you tell she's sad?
Because she has tears dripping down.
That's right. You see those tears? If I was here right now, or she was right here, I'd say, "Here, let me give you a tissue," and we could wipe those tears from her eyes and her face, right? What about this one? Are these boys happy or sad? Oh, they're happy, right? They're laughing. They're not crying. Why do people cry? Have you ever cried? Have you ever cried?
No.
You've never cried?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes what people will do is they'll cry if they're a baby because they're wet or they're hungry, right? Or they're scared. Sometimes people cry when they're sad. Sometimes people go to a wedding or a baptism and they get emotional and they get tears, but those are happy tears, right? People cry and people shed tears for good reasons or bad reasons. Did you know that Jesus cried? Did you know that Jesus had tears in his eyes? 3 times at least in the Bible. In the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus cried when he prayed for others. Can you imagine that? That Jesus was praying for you and me and it brought tears to his eyes? And then it says that Jesus went to see his friend Lazarus who had died. And do you think Jesus cried then? Yeah, he cried because his friend Lazarus died. And then it says one other time that Jesus came into Jerusalem, and that was before Good Friday and the cross, and he cried. You know why he cried? He cried because people didn't know the things that make for peace. In other words, they wanted to spend all their time with sin rather than all their time with God. So happy and sad, right? Laughing. Or one brother bawling his head off, the other one laughing his head off. Or this little girl who is obviously sad. You know what makes Jesus sad? When people don't believe in him and when they don't love him. Let's pray together, okay? Dear Jesus, thanks for drying all my tears and giving me joy forevermore. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Anybody need a tissue? Sometimes for the nose. Oh, she's got hers. Yeah, sometimes it's for the nose and sometimes it's for the eyes. Could be that they're sweating because of allergies. Or it could be that we're over the top happy. Or it could be that we are grieving with deep sorrow and sadness. Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I trace the rainbow through the storm, and know the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. Morn shall tearless be. That's the promise we have from the lips of Jesus. That's the promise we have in the book of Revelation. That's the promise of God for God's people, that God is going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death will be no more. Suffering and sorrow will be no more. No more tears. A little while. In our gospel reading for tonight, in 4 verses, 7 times, we hear that rather ambiguous and vague phrase, a little while. And it can be confusing. Because what exactly is a little while? I mean, the experts have said we're all terminal. It's just that some of us have more information than others. What does a little while mean? Well, if you're waiting for news about a loved one being in surgery that was supposed to be 2-3 hours and now it's 6 or 8 hours, if you're waiting for a loved one to come home from a war zone, if you're waiting to see what happens to a friend that's been in a terrible accident, you see, there are times when a little while can seem like eternity. And then there are times when you look back and you say, where did the time go? It's just been a little while. I mean, like the snap of a finger, but it happened so fast. How did we grow old so quickly, right? This past week, my son, Joshua, our firstborn, May 13th, celebrated his birthday, 37 years old. And I tell you the truth. It seems like just a little while ago that our son was born when we were on internship in Montana, and he was only a couple of weeks old when we were bringing him home with this little surety that they gave him, our little piece of Montana. A little while. It can seem like eternity, or, in the words of St. Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, it can be in the blink of an eye. In a moment, the last trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, because the mortal must put on immortality. And then will come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. No more tears. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have the victory. Just a little while. But the disciples were confused. What does he mean by a little while? Because sometimes it seems like eternity, and sometimes it seems like, where did the time go? It just flew by. Recently, my wife needed some work done in her car. Simple things, you know, like rotating the tires and changing the oil. And I was about to head out of town just for an overnighter with Jack Miller to a clergy retreat in Iowa. And so I said, well, I'm going to get over to Adamson's on a Monday morning, my day off, really early. They open up at 7, so I thought if I get there about 6:30 or so, right? I got there a little after 6:30, and there's already 7 or 8 cars in line, and I had to be out on the street, on that frontage road, you know. I thought, this is crazy. I came here early, and then they started lining up even way behind me. And by the time I got in, when they opened at 7 o'clock, the mechanic said, it's going to be a little while today. I said, well, I brought a book with me. I mean, it's usually a half hour. But he was right. It was a little while. It was an hour and a half. So is that what Jesus means? A little while, an hour and a half. Well, God always makes the most of the time he gives us, right? And so I ran into a gentleman who was also sitting there waiting for his car to find out what was wrong with it. He was from Michigan, out of town. And as God's grace would have it, we started to have a conversation. And I don't need to tell you what the conversation was about. It wasn't about what make is your car. We started talking about God and church and Jesus and the faith. And then, unfortunately, the little while came to a close. It had been an hour and a half, and they said, your car's ready. And so I had to say goodbye. But I still remember that conversation about Jesus, the one who wipes away all tears from our eyes. Oh, love that will not let me go. We're going to sing that hymn of the day in a little while. But I ask you this. Does that mean after the sermon is done tonight or 10 years from now when it's the hymn of the day? What exactly is a little while in your life? Well, I got back from the clergy retreat and Julie's tires needed to be rotated. Got them at Costco. You know how it works. You buy the tires there, you get free balance, free rotation, right? So I do that every 5,000 miles. We scheduled an appointment. We went there. It takes about a half hour. I mean, they tell you that. So I go in, I give him the key, and he said, do you have a number? I said, yep. Give him a number, and I said, I'm just going to mosey around and look around, you know, because at Costco, you can get free samples, right? So I thought, I'll just nibble a little bit, graze a little bit, look around, see if there's anything there. And after about 6 minutes, I thought, you know, I think I could treat myself to one of those ice cream things. You know, they got some nice ice cream there. And as long as I got another 20 minutes or so to wait, I'll just go sit down, relax, have some nice ice cream. I start to walk up there to that food court area, and then my cell phone goes off. Now, I don't know what you do, but at home or on the cell phone, if I don't recognize the number, I don't answer it. But I did at Costco for some reason. I thought, well, maybe I better answer this. And here it was, the guy, the mechanic guy, you know, at the service department, the tire place, at Costco. The Fiesta's ready. I said, what? He said, yeah, you know, the car you just dropped off, it's ready. I said, really? I thought he's pulling my leg. I went there, sure enough, 7 minutes. Seriously, 7 minutes, rotating, balancing all those tires, right? I said, wow, you guys are fast. Thank you. He said, well, I told you it would be just a little while. Oh, so is a little while an hour and a half at Adamson? Is it 7 minutes at Costco? What's a little while? You see? You see why the disciples had problems with this? What exactly is a little while? And he said to me, well, there's four of us, and yours is the only car here, so we all four ganged up. And we did the tires together. I could just picture it. Can you picture it? I mean, I can see the assembly line. These four guys, you know, taking those nuts off, you know, off of the tires, the lug nuts and stuff, you know, and then another person grabbing it, taking it over there and balancing it. Another, you know, 7 minutes. Our gospel reading for tonight, chapter 16 of John's gospel, is about a little while. But it's a part of a conversation that Jesus has with his disciples that is all about what's going to happen in a little while. Chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, Jesus' farewell address. He's saying goodbye because he's going to go to the Father. And to get to the Father means that, well, certain things have to happen. So he washes the feet of the disciples. He gives them the new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. By this, everybody in the world's going to know you're my disciples. And then he talks about, in my Father's house, there's many rooms. I got a room for you. I'm going to go prepare it for you. And when it's ready, I'm going to come, and I'll carry you right up to it. And he talks about, well, the reason he has to go, it's to your benefit, because basically speaking, Jesus says, I can be right here in one place one time. But when I go, then I give you the Spirit of truth, the Paraclete, the Advocate, the Counselor. He'll be with you nonstop, 24/7, every place you go forever. Wow. But the disciples don't quite wrap their heads around this. And at the end, Jesus is going to also share with them about the vine and the branches, and he's going to pray for them. But in chapter 16, that's where everything kind of comes to a head. What in the world? I mean, can you picture the disciples, right? I mean, they're whispering in a kind of a sidebar, right? And Jesus can read their minds, and Jesus can hear their whisperings, and he says, you're wondering what I mean when I said, in a little while you won't see me, and again a little while you will see me. Well, here's what it means. The world is going to rejoice, and you're going to be filled with deep sorrow. But just for a little while. Because again, in a little while, the world's very temporary joy is going to turn into an eternity of hell and anguish. And your very short, temporary sorrow, sadness, tears is going to turn into an eternity of joy. And did you hear what Jesus said to his disciples and what he said to us? He's making an announcement in his farewell discourse. He says, and no one is going to be able to take your joy away because it's God-given. It's eternal. So what he's getting at, of course, is he's announcing that in a little while, I mean, this is Maundy Thursday, in a little while, in less than 24 hours, he's going to be executed on the cross. And then there's Holy Saturday, and in a little while, the third day arrives, and it's Easter and resurrection. So what does he mean by a little while? Does it mean 3 days? Does it mean 72 hours? Does it mean Good Friday and Easter morning? Does it mean for those of us who are waiting for the parousia, the return of Jesus, does it mean then his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven? And now we wait for his return? Well, it seems like it's been 2,000 years or so. But St. Peter says, 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. And a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. When we think about time, we think about calendars and seasons and centuries. We think about clocks and calendars, right? All the time. We think about something that's linear and chronological. But when Jesus talks about time, isn't it beautiful? I mean, think about it. Isn't it absolutely beautiful when he says, in a little while? I mean, it can keep you right on the edge of your seat, jumping at the bit. Or I suppose, if you're in alignment with the world, because in John's gospel, the world is hostile to Jesus. The world is in bed with Satan, in cahoots with the devil, and the world is going to rejoice when Jesus is crucified. But they only get to rejoice for just a little while. And then they'll have eternal anguish. God gives us a little while here on earth. And then God gives us that forever of eternity in heaven. Endless joy and just a little while sorrow. And yet this is the world that God so loved, a hostile world that God sent his Son into so that the saved would be saved forevermore, so that the unsaved would be redeemed and saved, so that the lost would be found. God so loves the world that he gives his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes may not perish, but have everlasting joy, life abundant. Eternity begins now. Now, when I think about a little while, I have pictures that come into my head. You probably do too. I think about John 11, where Jesus gets words about Lazarus, who's deathly sick. ASAP, come now, right? And Jesus delays, and Lazarus dies. So much for best friends. He gets to Bethany, and the first one to meet him is Martha, Lazarus' sister, and she's weeping up a storm. And the first thing she says to Jesus is, if you'd been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. Yet I know whatever you ask the Father, he'll give it to you. And Jesus says to Martha, your brother will rise again. Oh, I know that, Martha says, in a little while, at the last day, he will rise. And you remember what Jesus says? If you only understood a little while, Martha, the last day has arrived. I am, present tense, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? I mean, Martha's weeping, Mary's weeping, the crowds are weeping. Jesus gets to the tomb of Lazarus, he's weeping. And I think, quite frankly, weeping not just over the loss of a loved one, not just because death stinks, but you know what really stinks? What really makes Jesus cry a storm or a river? Unbelief. Unbelief makes Jesus weep. Lazarus, come forth. And he does. Unbind him and let him go. And how long is Lazarus going to be alive? Until he meets his maker again. A little while. Seriously, just a little while. Think about Luke chapter 16. You know the story of another Lazarus, right? He was a poor man with sores all over his body, and he couldn't even crawl to the gate of the rich man, whom we call Dives. He had to be laid there every day. And the rich dude, he was dressed in fine purple, and he feasted sumptuously every day. Can you imagine every day eating a Thanksgiving feast? No wonder he died. I mean, Lazarus dies. We can understand that, covered with sores and starvation. The rich man dies. Lazarus is taken by the angels up to the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man is buried. And he's in Hades, where he is in torment. And he sees Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham and says, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus down here. Whew, I'm parched. I need some water." And Lazarus says, "No." I mean, Father Abraham says, "No way. Can't happen. There's a chasm there, right? You can't get across it. Death is the great equalizer." And so then, interestingly enough, in that story, the rich man says, "Well, you know, Father Abraham, I've got five brothers. And they're pagans too. Can you send Lazarus back into the world to warn them, lest they come to this place of torment with me?" And Father Abraham says, "No, it's not possible." You see, they have the Bible. That's what he says. They've got the Bible. They've got the prophets. They've got Moses. They can listen to them. Oh, but if someone would rise from the dead, that would convince them. And Father Abraham says, "Unfortunately, it won't." Right? The world is going to rejoice, be anti-Christ, anti-church, anti-Christian, anti-kingdom of God. But their joy? Ha! For just a little while. And the people of faith, the followers of Christ, as we hear in the book of Revelation especially, they are going to be persecuted to the death. But it's just for a little while. And then, eternity. You see, the disciples in the farewell discourse, even though they had the promise, they didn't see the end of the story yet. But you've read it. You've seen it. You've heard it. I mean, it's like a good book that you read. It's like a good movie that you see. And you're on pins and needles because you don't know. You watch. You see the time is running out. You don't know how this is going to end, right? You're hoping it's a happy ever after and that it's not one of these, "Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Who would have done that?" Right? We have the benefit of doubt, literally. Because now we know the rest of the story. We know how this is all going to end. So you can go back to the Bible day after day after day, and you can reread, you can re-see the movies, etc. It makes all the difference. Any of you see the finale of The Big Bang on Thursday night? My wife and I watched it. Okay? Now, I'm not a big fan. I didn't watch it every Thursday, etc. But I know enough about these characters, right? 12 years this comedy has been going on. And you watch and you say, how is this Big Bang going to end? Well, there were a lot of interesting surprises and stuff. But quite frankly, for those who were watching it, it ended with repentance. By Sheldon, no less. And then as they were talking about the surprises in the show, if you've ever seen that show, even once, you maybe remember that there was this hidden character. It would be Howard Wolowitz's mother, who has this kind of screamy voice. But you never see what she looks like. Howard! I mean, I can't even do it. I mean, it's really good. For 8 years, the voice of that unseen character was... I'm going to forget her name now. Carol is her first name. Carol Ann Susie, I believe it is, Susie. And she died of cancer at the age of 62 in 2014. And in every episode since, on the refrigerator in the apartment of Sheldon's was her picture, right there, so that she was with the cast and the crew and the audience for every single episode. You see, we already know how God's story ends, because your name and my name has been put into the Lamb's Book of Life. So whatever the world may do to us here and now, it's just for a little while. But eternity, which is guaranteed by Christ, his death and resurrection, and his promise coming again, that's endless joy. And that's forever. So may the Lord teach us to number our days. May the Lord help us to open the treasure of every breath we take here and now. Because what we have is just a little while. For the grace and glory of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.